Let's read just a little bit over in chapter 17. A lot of times we go and we go and we go and we go. And sometimes we don't spare ourselves for the sake of Christ. As to spare our bodies, as to proper recuperating is what we would like to see. But then we go so far and we decide that we can't go any further. Whereas usually the average individual that goes so far that can't go any farther really hasn't even got started. They're such babies in life and so used to medical aid till they really haven't even got started. They don't even know what going to the point of not going is. It's just kind of a joke like, but to them they're all to pieces. They're going to die. They're losing their mind. Their nerves are going all to pieces and they don't know nothing about nothing when it comes to suffering or pain or misery or going into a real state of problems. And they whine like little pups. But the Lord, He binds up the little old bruised finger, the little old bruised toe, because of them the whole world's falling in, you know. But when it comes to real perseverance and going through problems and trials and pains and things, as the early church did, and they that were sacrificed to the fire and died at the stake and beat, pulled apart on the torture wheels and eyes put out and as a Jewish friend of mine said, there's ice water poured over you until you're so cold, so numb, you know, until death would be a treat. And as it was said of Johnny Lee, when they take your tongue and pull it out of your mouth and force it out of your mouth and then stretch it long enough to put a nail in it and nail it to the floor while you strangle to death on your blood. And you know, problems, I'm speaking of problems. But our little puny problems, you know, we say we just can't go any further. We just can't go any further. Whereas it's real sad to think that we don't allow ourselves any pain or any misery. Always running to the doctor with every little thing. Allow ourselves to suffer any. Whereas the Bible said, it quickly says, with a mind to suffer. As Paul said, I seek to know thee in the fellowship of thy suffering. Very few of us actually go looking for his sufferings. But people say, I've gone as far as I can go. And what makes it so bad is maybe somebody does go through suffering. Somebody does submit themselves. Somebody's not playing church. Somebody's really trying to live right. And then somebody else comes into the church and scrutinizes them or tries to pick them apart where their little old evil, wretched way of thinking as non-submission as to one another. As the Bible said, we should submit ourselves one to another. And they are not even out of their diapers and not even fit. Not even fit for the other individual to even spit upon. And yet they'll sit there as a lord in the seat of scorning, foolishness, and reason with them themselves as to against the other has to assure themselves that they're right, for every man's ways is right in his own eye. But still, when the true Christian, the true man of God sees them, they're not even out of their diapers. Though they're just filled with all kind of thoughts and knowledge and doings and goings and talking and saying and whatever. But it's a true fact when they're actually seen in the Spirit, when it's clear. Not as to a surmising thing, but absolutely a fact. They're not even out of their diapers. Good. Men and women alike. Some have been in the gospel for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, and they haven't even got out of their diapers. Let's give the Lord a hand. Folks, let me tell you something. The church of today has taken in you and me and we. As the church of today, we hardly know anything as the church of yesterday. We hardly understand anything as the church of yesterday. We've never gone through anything as the real persecution and suffering of yesterday, or to those people back there that contended for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God, that stopped the sun, the moon, and opened the Red Sea, and opened the Jordan, and people that died, was killed, as I said, went through such horrible, hideous things. The church of today hardly knows anything. So if you don't get the Holy Ghost and you don't get in the Holy Ghost, you haven't got anywhere. I've got so many people here that don't have the Holy Ghost that comes to church regular. They try to give in the offering. They still don't live an overcoming life. And they still don't have the Holy Ghost. And out of Bethlehem I have very few. Out of all that comes to Bethlehem year after year that actually has the Holy Ghost. And yet I've got some that's been here 10, 20, 30 years as to being in the gospel. They've been in the gospel longer than that, then they still don't have the Holy Ghost. Someone would say, well, you don't know, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, I know. The Bible says the child is known by their doings, and I know their doings is not according to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the Spirit of Christ. It reacts the same, thinks the same, does the same things as it did when it was in the Lord Jesus' body. And people are temperamental. They gossip. They backbite. They get bitter. They get upset. They go after money. They got gullible desires, always entertaining thoughts of passions and the gullibleness of the flesh. Always warring with somebody. Always finding fault with somebody. Always doing something all the time. And in the church, always my enemy. Never sit on the church bench without being my enemy. Has to sit in the seat of the scornful while I wrestle against their old minds. And what makes it so bad is the longer they've been in the religion, the stronger that old serpent mind is. The more seared their conscience are, and the more past feeling they are. And the more that they realize in their craftiness that I'm speaking to them, so they harden their heart the harder, and they rise up the more. And they go on their gullible way to resent and to find fault and to be my enemy and to hinder the great Holy Spirit as He's trying to reach souls and do things for God. Getting back to the originality of my thoughts, a lot of people, you know, they say, I've gone as far as I can go. Whereas I say, they haven't really experienced anything yet. I like at this church, I don't know if anybody's ever experienced anything here that I know of that really shows an experience as to a Christian experience. Oh, that is to say, through suffering and whatever. I don't know of any of them that's actually went through those things for Christ's sake. Some of you have been through a lot of problems because of your foolishness. And David said, my wounds stink because of my foolishness. A lot of you got problems because of your foolishness. But anyway, folks say I'm going as far as I can go. But you know, when you've done all that you can, you've not gone as far as you can go. The Bible said, having done all to stand, that is, you've done all you can to stand. The Lord didn't say, sit down or quit or say, I can't. He said, stand. Somebody said, but I can't. I've gone as far as I can. He said, stand. Stand. And the Bible said, it's as far as your endurance. Somebody said, I've gone as far as I can. The Lord will just have to remember, I've done all I can. That's up to Him, you know. But the Bible says, they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And He said, you be faithful unto death. Then somebody said, well, then that's the answer. If I be faithful unto death, then I've gone as far as I can, because that's death. All right, so we'll call that a terminal point. Gone as far as you can. So how far does God expect us to go before He accepts the fact that we've done all we can? Until we die. When we die, then we've done all we can. We'll say that's a terminal point as to your thinking. The Bible said, having done all to stand, stand ye therefore and be strong in the power of my might. So, when we say we've gone as far as we can, we've gone to death. And in that we've gone to death, that's all we can do. Now the spirit has departed from the body. No, it's not all we can do. You haven't gone as far as you can go. You just go to sleep in the faith. And even like it was with Elisha, when they threw the bones of a dead man in on Elisha while he was asleep, the power of Elisha resurrected him, and he jumped back up out of the grave. So you haven't gone as far as you can go, even when you lay down to sleep. So we just lay down to sleep to rest a little while so we can hear His voice in the morning, so that we can come up out of that grave to go on, to keep on, keeping on throughout eternity. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, where is the end? There is an end for the world, but to God's people, there's no end. There's no end to your strength. There's no end to your life. There's no end to your substance. There's no end to your endurance. There is no end. You are forever. You are forever. I'm going to read from the 17th chapter of the book of St. John. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self for the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all might may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and as love them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may all behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. If you'll notice one thing here, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. The Bible says, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of his word. His word. For they are sanctified through the word. Therefore, since the word comes by the preacher, you can't find sanctification except through the preacher. Therefore, judgment begins in the house of God, and that faith comes by the word of God. So he hath the power to remit your sins. For he hath the one that brings the word. For the Bible said, how can he preach lest he be sent? And he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And what sanctifies the people is faith in the word. For as you believe, so do you. And the child is known by his doings, because that is the proof of his faith and what he believes, and that he acts upon what he believes. And so faith saves him. Now, God purifies his heart as to sanctifying his heart through faith. Jesus also tells us here, thou hast given me power over all flesh. One of the things that if we fail to do, that is to say, if we fail to take authority and power over the flesh, that thing that we fail to do will be proof that we cannot have eternal life. Because the proof of eternal life is when the Spirit of God is in you, and the proof of him being in you is when you overcome the outer person. If you cannot subdue the outer person, and if you cannot overcome the outer person, and you're forever falling around in the flesh and having the old hard-hearted thoughts, and the flesh, Satan, working within your flesh, and that Paul said within the flesh there's no good thing, then you thinking those thoughts of hardness of heart, as I describe them to you, it's proof you don't have the Spirit of God. And the proof that you don't have the Spirit of God is your doings. You don't overcome the flesh. One of the ways to know that you pass from death unto life is that you love the brethren. The proof of love is that you fellowship the brethren. You are around the brethren. You help the brethren. You share in the project or the cross of the brethren. And you esteem others better than yourself. As to the brethren, submitting yourself one to another, as to the brethren, that you might see Christ and look on them as the Lord Jesus, not esteeming them according to the flesh, but according to the new birth, as being sons of God or memberships of the body of God to whom you are subject, even the Christ within them to glorify God within them, Paul said. So then he said, and God has given me power over all flesh. If you are a son of God, then God has given you all power over your outer man. Though the outer man perisheth, the inner man is renewed day by day. I keep under this body, I bring it into subjection. Lest after that I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. So then Paul tells us that we've got power over the flesh. This way we have power over the devil. I give unto you power, and that power is over all of the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, nor come nigh your dwelling. Never spot you and never touch you. You keep yourself, and the evil one touch you not. So you have power over Satan because he's the god of the world. He works through the flesh, and the flesh is dead. But the body of Jesus Christ in your behalf, and your faith and confidence in that has brought the Spirit of Christ that conquered Satan in the flesh. While he walked here in the flesh, that is to say Christ in the human body, he conquered Satan, and he put away the flesh, and he put away sinful flesh and all that Satan could do. So you now have power over all the powers of the enemy, even death. Death. For your spirit can never die. You are eternal in heaven. You are. God has placed you there, and you are now equal to the angels and cannot die. Angels cannot die. So you have problems out of the flesh and stumbling and staggering. But still at that, the Bible said, happeth he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth. That is, he rises up, he takes faith, he takes courage in the righteousness of God when he's done all that he can to stand, and he stumbles. He stands fast in the righteousness and the faith of Jesus Christ, and he continues to overcome Lucifer and continues to be Lucifer's master and continues to overpower the old carnal mind of evil. And the Bible said, though they make their faces as hard as an adamant stone, don't fear their faces. You've got power on the inside that when you see them, whether you stand in the pulpit and see them, whether you stand on the outside and see them, whether you meet them in your home or on your job, don't fear their faces, because the hardness of that which is to the adamant stone is that Lucifer power as to the thoughts of that great mighty angel Lucifer. But the angel within you is the angel of Christ, which makes your head and face hard against theirs to where you don't even flinch, and they fall on you as a stone and they're soon broken. They may try to be tough, and they might try to be brilliant, and they might try to show their riches and splendor and magnificence and self-set way of will and stubbornness of life, but you'll burn them down like a candle when it hits the wax, that is to say the fire. When the fire strikes the wax, and you'll burn them down like a candle, and they'll soon melt, and they'll soon give in to you one way or another. They will break and submit to you and listen to you and follow you, or either they will turn like a dog when he's scalded in him. They'll run. They'll run. They'll leave you. They'll get them another place of living, another place of abode. They'll find them another feller, another partner. They'll go somewhere else. They won't stay around you because they know that they're going to break. And the only way that they can do is that devil that's got them will run to keep from submitting to you. Like David Paul was telling me yesterday, he said, Dad, son, I saw you in a vision. He said, there came a great black man before you. Said he was a huge black man. Very rude and arrogant. And of course, he said that the man was determined to just walk over me. And said he kept saying things to me as Satan, you know, when Satan said it is written and whatever. But he kept saying things and said as he kept saying things, you just held your composure. Said you never did get disturbed as to losing your composure. And you just gently spoke back to him and told him the way it was. And he questioned everything that you was doing and what the brethren was doing and saying all kind of things. Said you just calmly said it's written and it's whatever. And said finally he got weaker and weaker until he fell down trembling at my feet. And said, and even then he clenched his fist together just in a nervous tremor, saying, I won't submit, I won't submit, I won't submit to you. But he had to submit. See, so that means that it doesn't matter what it is or who it is. The Lord said, and no man shall stand before thee all the days of thy life. When you walk with Christ, I remember when I was praying, fasting in the back room down in Alabama, and I heard that voice, and the Lord came into my room and he said, and no man shall stand before thee all the days of thy life. And he spoke of Moses and he spoke of Joshua. And as I was with them as to Joshua, so shall I be with you. And I took courage, and he said, he took me right straight to a scripture. I turned and I picked up the Bible right straight to the scripture where Moses spoke directly to Joshua and told him what he was to do as to go over the Jordan. And by the grace of God, we went over the Jordan and we're dwelling in Canaan. Let's give the Lord a hand. So the old carnal mind of Jordan fled. Like the old serpentine course that it really is. It fled away and the waters rolled back and we went safe over. And we've enjoyed this wonderful land of Canaan. The world will hate you, Jesus said. But you know it hated me first. Now, so Jesus said you've got all power over the flesh. All flesh. I don't care whether it's a big bad fellow, whether it's a big bad woman. It doesn't matter who they are. Religious, rich, poor, educated, whatever. Who are we as Christians? We have power over them. They're nothing but flesh and bones and they pass away as a shadow. We have power over all the powers of the devil. If it's seven devils in one as it was with Mary Magdalene. Or if it's a legion of devils as it was in the man that broke the chain. We have power over all the devils. And we have power over death, which is the enemy of God. So then we have this power and should utilize it. Greater is he that is within you, even the spirit of Christ, than he that is in the world, even the spirit of Lucifer, the god of this world. All right, so he goes on down again. And he tells us that he hath kept them in his name. He said, Father, I've not lost to one of them except the son of perdition. That is that old hard-hearted one, that old intellectual one, that old tree of knowledge child, self-made. And he was a devil from the beginning. Now, this might be a little shocking when I say some of these things, but remember, when you speak of devils, some people are made sons of God. They're created sons of God. Some are made, the Bible said, and these are beasts, some of them brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. In the foreknowledge of God, he knew that they'd burn in the fire when he brought them into the world, when he made them. And the Bible said God has made the waster to destroy. So there are some that are beasts. Some are sons of God, and then some are devils. Some are devils. Before Judas was ever born into the world, it was said, let another his bishopric take. Jesus said, I've chosen 12 of you as his birth, and one of you is a devil. So some are devils. A lot of times you don't realize it, but in your community, you're living next door to a devil. Or sometimes you ladies don't realize it, but you're living with a devil. And some of you men don't realize it because you're looking at a feminine perspective. You don't realize that she is a devil. Somebody said a she-devil. She is a devil. But anyway, these are devils. And they are powerful devils. Powerful devils. Devils are powerful. A devil could sweep through. Just sweep through here. And if God didn't stop him, there wouldn't even be a stone left here. It wouldn't be nothing but dust. He could take everything with him in one sweep. That's the power of a devil. And some are more powerful than others, great and mighty. Like the Bible speaks of some angels. Of course, devils are angels, fallen angels. They become darkness, intellectual ignorance, because they didn't honor the light. One angel flying through the midst of heaven, and the Bible said the glory of that angel was so great that he lightened all the earth. When one angel came down to talk to the shepherds, the Bible said the glory of the Lord shine round about them. Lights, understanding, brings you divine inspiration and comprehending, and strength. Even as the devils in Legion could break chains, even as the Spirit of God within Samson could rend the lion. See, angels are powerful. So then you are an angelic being on the inside, and you are powerful. But you're only powerful according to your knowledge as in the earth, as to your stature of limitation. But in Christ, there's no boundaries, there's no limitations, and you are unlimited in God, and you should never limit the Holy One. Your angel can be so powerful like Samson, it can rend a lion. It can be so powerful like Samson when he walked out and took those great gates of the city that Josephus says weighed tons, picked them up, carried the gates, carried the pillars and everything to the top of the hill and set it up at the top of the hill. And God measures your strength. For the Bible said God weigheth the strength. He weigheth the spirit, and the spirit is your strength. So then God measures your strength. And as to what he sees in your life, then you are that designated individual. Like it was said, and who do men say that I am? And over at another place it was said, James and John, the sons of thunder. See, as it was said, Peter, the stone. And God looked at Jesus through Peter. It was said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the Christ himself, the all-powerful without measure. Thou art God. So then you have a great opportunity. So the Lord tells us that we have all power over the flesh, all power over the world, all power over death. We have power to lay our lives down in Christ or to take it up. Now, that is, we don't die, we go to sleep. He says here that there are devils. I've lost that devil that got in among us. So there are devils. Then he goes on down and he says another thing to me that's real inspiring. So many, even around the world as I go, always talking about to God be the glory. Whereas that's scripture and that's beautiful. And it should be that way. And out of the heart of every living creature it should be. But especially the Christians it is. And so then, from their heart, they glorify the Lord. They give him the glory. Their thoughts is to love him and to magnify him. And he's the chief of their thoughts. So they lift him up high in their hearts and minds. And they honor them that labor in the Lord and give double honor to them as doing it unto the Lord Jesus. But an old hypocrite will run around and say, you know, trying to get your mind off of your shepherd, trying to get your mind to where you want to esteem somebody that's doing good, you know, and try to get you frustrated and always holler about following man, following man. That's an old hypocrite. It's like an old mossy-backed turtle that'll lay in the waters. I've had them to do that many times when I was fishing, get my bait, couldn't catch them. You know, like an old sucker. A sucker will come up and hit the bait and just like that, and you can't get the hook in him. Maybe you're not experienced with those kind of things, but I come up in the country and on the riverbank. Sometimes that's the way we eat. But anyway, that's like an old hypocrite, always pointing a finger at the shepherd. Smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. Or pointing their finger at somebody that's upright and decent, that's trying to be a light, that or that stood through the years as a light in the community. Always trying to break down and steal virtue to take away everything. Satan does that. But a true minister always gives God the glory. He doesn't have to say, to God be the glory. Or don't do that to Brother Taylor. He'll get the glory. You don't have to do that. In his heart, day and night, he meditates loving and giving the glory to God in everything that's said, everything that's done. Even when you praise him, Paul said, I praise you in a good thing. While somebody is sitting out there in the audience, if it be your minister, and he be the right kind of person, He will be sitting wherever he's sitting, giving God the glory. Everything you're seeing good about him, no matter who's saying it, while you're sitting there scrutinizing, thinking, I think he's lifting him too high. I think he's saying too much. Whereas the Bible said, esteem him worthy of double honor to lift him up very, very high. You say that John is a prophet? Jesus said he's more than a prophet. Somebody said, a prophet? He said, more than a prophet. This is the one I set before my face. Gideon, beloved man of God. Moses, wasn't you afraid to speak against him? There's nobody in all the land like him. He's faithful in all of his house. See, so people that run along and do those things, it's because they're ignorant. Always saying, he'll not give his glory to another. Which that's Bible. That's wonderful. You know, when God's speaking it, when it's said for the right cause, it's not taken out of its context as it was when the devil tried to quote the scripture to Jesus and cast him off the mountain, kill him. It's very clear here in his very words, his own words. First of all, it's clear that he's not praying for the world. God loveth everybody. Jesus loves you. If Jesus loved the world, why did he pray for them? He told you to love not the world, neither the things in the world. How could he be at my example if he loved the world? How the things in the world? Folks, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's angry with the wicked every day. And if he loved the world, he would pray for the world. So when ministers go to doing that, that's the devil. They're out there trying to make a way for the wretched. When God said, I'm angry with the wicked every day, I'll pursue them till they perish from all. Why doesn't the preacher get up and preach and say, folks, as those that are unsanctified, God is angry with you every day and he'll pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth because of your wretched doings. And your carnal mind is enmity with God. And the Bible said that you are wandering stars and that you are restless waves foaming out your shame and stars for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And that you'll be cast into a burning lake of fire alive. And all of you that forget God shall be turned into hell. Instead of saying, God loves you. God give his son to die for you. He understands that you can't do right. And he understands, you know, you just fumble along and you just make such a mess everywhere you go. And you're the enemy of God. But God understands. God so loved you that he just bypassed all of that. See, Jesus doesn't love those folks. Somebody said, well, he lets them go on living. I know he lets them go on living. You know why he lets them go on living? Somebody said, well, that's because he wants to show them his love. No, that's not why he goes on living. Because he doesn't love them. He don't have any love for them. He would kill them overnight. Why would he kill them overnight? Would you let a rattlesnake stay in the room with your little children? Would you? Because of your love for the rattlesnake? The Bible said they're a generation of serpents. And they're beasts made to be taken and burned. And they're open sepulchres that don't appear. They're whited sepulchres that don't appear, that men fall into. Would you leave some hole for your children to fall into? Some den of snake or thieves? No, God lets them live for one purpose. And that's because you haven't yet got right. The blood is on the seat of atonement for one purpose. And that's to give the elect a chance to come to hear the gospel and then come in and be safe before the fire comes. He said, well, you can't prove that. The Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God burned it. If he so loved them people, why didn't he leave the grace down there? And he was typical of the church. See, if God loves the world the way you say, why is it he's going to take the blood off the seat of atonement when the church goes out of here? The very hour that they go out, the fire and the brimstone comes. I can show it to you in the book of Revelation, reading the 8th chapter. The very minute the blood comes off the seat of atonement, the angel takes the censer, fills it with the fire of the wrath of God, slings it into the earth, and the Bible says there's thunderings and lightnings, blood and hail. This blood is mingled with hail. All kind of things happen. The trees are burned up. The waters of the sea turn into blood. He doesn't love them. He's angry with them every day. He'd get rid of them as quick as he could. He wants you to hurry and come in so he can get rid of them. Because as long as they are loose, it's like a lion roaring, seeking his prey, angry, roaming about, trying to kill and destroy the mind and the health. And you know, a lot of times, because of our ignorance, we perish at the hand of the devil. But anyway, this perversion of preaching, doctrines of devils, the Bible calls it. Men that are ministers, but they've transformed their minds by renewing to the study of the word in colleges and these kind of things as Bible schools. And they're keeping this to where the wicked can plunder on. So, does the love of God shine to them? It does. God is so fixed it to where they see the love of God, and the love of God leadeth us to repentance. But do they regard the love of God? Like the young fellow I told you about that was with David Wilkerson, went out giving out literature, walked over to someone to give out literature, gave out the literature or tried to say something to the man, and he whacked him in the stomach and almost emptied his entrails. And as he still held his entrails, tried to talk to him about God, turned to another, the other man pulled the knife and finished dropping him out on the ground, as we say. Killed him. You are foolish when you have the idea that you're going to reason with a devil. The Bible said, separate yourself from unreasonable men. You're foolish to think you're going to walk up in love, and that you're just going to walk up to that man, and he's a killer and he's a murderer and all these things, and you're going to out-talk him, and you're going to be kind to him, and he's going to be kind to you. You're foolish. You don't have any reasoning. He hates you. That devil hates you. And light and darkness hath no fellowship. You're not going to find any fellowship with him. You're ignorant to think that you're going to convince him and find fellowship. Somebody said, well, I know that I have in the past. No. In the past, you've done one of two things. You either had enough strength from God that you bound the devil within your opposition, as to you confounded him, or you bound him to where he was speechless, in that your strength and going on with God was greater than his, as to the strength he had with the devil. The devil's strength is great, can pop chains. See, or either the man or woman that you talk with that you convinced was elect, and you happen to reach an elect. See, a lot of times we perish at the hand of the world because of our ignorance and our lack of understanding. It is true that they experience the love of God, because the rain is upon the just and the unjust at this time. Because you are a human body, they are a human body. And because of these things, see, God has to give grace to preserve all human flesh until you can come out of the flesh and no longer be a living soul but a quickening spirit, and be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, and start crucifying and killing out the flesh, which relates to the world, to come out of the land of your kindred as to the flesh and be a separate people. That's why I don't go along with people when they run to their relatives all the time. They don't seek God. They just go to their relatives whenever they take an ocean. They are carnal. That's what's wrong with them. You can't get them to go over here for God. You can't get them to go over here to help somebody. You can't get them to share with somebody that needs help. But they always have the money to go where they want to go, go to their relatives, do the thing they want to do. Or they're always carnal, which is enmity with the mind and spirit of Christ. See, so the rain is on the just and the unjust. And it's a true fact that out there, that they're enjoying the love of God right now. The blood on the seat of atonement, they're in heaven right now, as it shows in Revelation 12 when Lucifer was in heaven. The old generation of vipers, the old wandering stars will be cast out. And the Bible said, and the devil wrapped his tail around a third part of the stars and cast them down to earth. Terms is used as to the tail, because as to the expulsion, smitten at the beginning, all the way down it comes as to Calvary made manifest, brought from the foreknowledge of God. And then the end of that thing is the old serpent's tail, is the little saying, dying when the sun goes down. So it's the end of the world. So it gives it as the tail that wraps around the stars. It's the end of the world. Why did Jesus preach generation of vipers? He said, thou hypocrite. John called him a generation of vipers. Why was it that they preached these kind of sermons? And why was it that men said, you ungodly people with your ungodly ways, doing your ungodly things. Why did they preach the way that they preached? Because that was the Spirit of God that was angry with the wicked every day. And God cut them down, and some of them were stoned to death because of it. Some of them was mistreated because of it. Jesus said, Pharisees and scribes, that is religious people, said, you're hypocrites. Now, says you're open sepulchres. Now, so we see that real, true gospel has always been right down the line. But when a man is a compromiser, when a man is looking for a television show, when a man is looking for a radio program, when a man is looking for an income and looking for an audience to where he can have what he wants whenever he gets ready, when a man is like that, compromiser, he's always got a sugar tip. He's always got some kind of sweet word. And somebody said he's the most loving fella, said he lived all his life and he never did hurt nobody's feeling. One of the worst devils that ever lived. One of the biggest hypocrites that ever lived. And a person that caused more problem probably than most anybody within the range of his community. Because he was a devil. Men don't live all of their lives without hurting people's feelings. When the Son of God Most High, when God Almighty, the good and holy and pure and righteous, hurt people's feelings, how do you think something like a stump like you and I is going to keep from hurting people's feelings? Let's give the Lord a hand. So, somebody said, well, he just lived so good and done so good and never did do anything wrong, you know, to say anything, you know, cross anybody up. Well, he hurt my feelings because I didn't like the way he lived. Let's give the Lord a hand. I think he was a devil. All right. So we find that God speaks plain. The Bible said concerning his ministry, we are rude in speech. Sometimes ministers are very rude in speech, but we're not in knowledge. And the Bible said in many things we offend all. But the Bible said not been the minister that speaks, but God speaking from within him. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. David said, my heart is fixed and nothing shall offend me. And especially the word of the Lord. So then, we're there to execute judgment upon those devils and those beasts that are made to be taken and burned. We hold back not the sword from blood. We're in battle. And sometimes in the foreign field or wherever we're at, when we're preaching as to evangelistic, we really dip the sword in blood. But a lot of times with our own congregation as to our own children, unless it's a wolf that slipped in among them, then we talk kind to them. We offer words of encouragement, especially to babes that are in Christ. The Bible said, rather than offend one of these, it's better than a millstone be tied about your neck, that you be drowned in the depths of the sea. And folks, that didn't mean offending hypocrites and devils. The quicker you can cut that old turtle's head off that's eating up your bait, the better off you're going to be in your fishing. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men, but you're going to have to whack that old eel's head off, that old sucker's head off, that old turtle's head off. Get rid of the crabs and the crawfish. And then you can be a good fisherman. Go to the right kind of pond. We see here then that he is angry with the wicked every day. And as I say, he hath no love for them. For it is very clear. He said, and for their sakes, speaking of them that is sanctified by truth, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That is, he's our righteousness. Then he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. If Brother Pike preaches and believes on their word, then I'm sanctified. If you believe on their word through me, then you're sanctified. And he says, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And I'm not praying that you should take them out of the world. That is, as to the bodies of them now. But that you should keep them from evil. And yet he has chosen the side of the world as to the spiritual man. We're hid with Christ in God, and the body here is buried in baptism. He said, I've given thy word, and the world hates them. Because they're not of the world. He said, I'm not of the world. See, he goes on to tell us that he prays not for the world. See, I am praying for them. The world hates them. But he said, I'm not praying for the world. And then he goes on to tell us that as to the glory which thou gavest me. Now I would say that this means his glory. When he said as to the glory that thou gavest me, I would say that is the glory that belonged to him. The same glory that he said he would not give to another. The glory that thou gavest me before the world ever was. And he says, Father, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. So there must not be another. They must be bone of his bone, and they must be flesh of his flesh. So rather than go around like an old hypocrite to tear somebody down, knowing that I'd be trying to tear somebody else down, that I might get all the glory through a gullible devil, I just come as a man of God to preach to you and speak the words of God, even as the Lord has said. And don't it be teeming millions that run with the error of the word as to these things of which I speak to you. Yet why should I speak in error? For he hath not given me the spirit of error. Why should you speak in error? He hath not given you the spirit of error. And when you are contrary with a hard heart, you're only foolish. You fell into the condemnation of the devil. You are a novice, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, not thinking soberly as to the submission to the word. And you are contrary to God and God's righteousness, and you then have the spirit of error. So then are you the child of the devil? For if you be the child of wickedness, the Bible said you're of your father the devil, and his will you're going to do. I am of my father God, he said, his will I'll do. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I said the revelation of the word is to the revealing of the glory from glory to glory. It's what makes us one as the body of the Lord Jesus, as bone of his bone and as flesh of his flesh. How else can we then be the glory of God? Is that not that the only way? For how can I be one with God if I cannot think as God? How can my wife be one with me if she cannot think as me? She is the weaker vessel because I'm supposed to be a stronger spirit. That my angel may overpower her angel. That my thinking may soon convert her thinking. That's why she takes my name. She's my bone and flesh. So then, it is that as I think and understand, so I become one with him and he becomes one with me. And so we are as one spirit, which is made manifest as to a word, which is a thought or a sound, as to human recordings. Impulses, quickenings, vibrations, many things that you know about those things. See, so the big thing is, as I said the other night, it is a mind, and even the mind of that great light. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that is one body as membership, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. I like that, folks. Man. Let's give the Lord a hand. I like that. Now, what is it that you like, Brother Pike? He said, Father, the world, I want them to know that you not only love me as the Son of God, but you love them the same way you love me. Why not? We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. How could he love Jesus with all love and not love us if we are Jesus? Let's give the Lord a little hand. Not me living, but Christ that liveth with me in the life I now live. I live with the Son of God. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So my spirit is one with his spirit. My body is one with his body. My mind is one with his mind. All right, I just thought I'd exhort you a little bit and mention those things. There's just so many things. I'd love to take just hours on there, but I thought I'd give you a break tonight. I didn't let the little ones sing tonight, and I thought I would give you a break tonight, talk to you just a little bit from the word, exhort you the more, and that I see the day approaching. I mentioned to you the other night that with this legislation as to change the Constitution of the United States, which I read about in the paper, that if they follow through to do away with income tax, brings it to the sale tax, then they won't have any more problems of tax evasion. They can have everybody. They won't have to send out. They won't have to spend money. They won't have to write checks. many, many things Antichrist will cause craft to prosper. And with that, it'll bring in the mark of the beast, because they can force everybody under the social security number, which you already have. But as to a more direct thing, as to the computerized control of one man, even Antichrist, seeing his opportunity, will seize upon a human body and personify himself, because at that time Lucifer is cast out of heaven. And when he's cast out of heaven, he personifies himself. For it's at that time that the church is translated and raptured as the man-child going up. And at that time, Lucifer is cast out, going on toward the middle of the week. As to the battle royal with Jesus, who will be in a human body coming back as the Jew, and that he was born among the Jews, and at the same time, the middle of the week, 144,000 going up to Mount Zion to meet him as a membership. And at the same time, Lucifer, the war in heaven, Revelation 12, Satan's cast out. He personifies himself in a man, because it has to become an earthly thing, because the Lord has come back and his people. And as the spiritual one, he's cast out. As the spiritual ones, we're caught up. As the spiritual ones, we are the sons of God. As the spiritual ones, we cast him out. Then the bodily episode takes place. And the 7 years it connects with the 483 comes back together. The heavenly episode is over. Lucifer is cast out of heaven, because the seven comes back to the 483. And that means there's no more blood on the seat of atonement. Because as long as the blood's on the seat of atonement, it's still heaven. His presence is still here. Grace is still with you. Still healing medicines. Darkness is not here. You have intellectual darkness among you, but you also have light. And that light provides understanding as to healing medicines. And the mercy, even as God giving death, is still here. So it's all simultaneous. That is to say, when they bring in the sales taxes, it will automatically set the scene for the church to go out. Because God will not let them take the mark of the beast. He will not let them stay here through that. And those that go through the tribulation period will experience that, and even the Jews. And yet those that are sealed in the forehead will not experience those horrible, hideous things, the locusts and the different things coming out of the earth, and of that thing that the Antichrist will impose upon. Right now we're in the days of the great hour of temptation. I will keep thee from the great hour of temptation that's to come upon all them that dwell on the earth to try them. Right now this is the great hour. Satan is offering everything. Jesus is on the mountaintop and he's saying, you can be a television star as to the membership of the body. He's saying you can be a ball player. You can frolic. You can have feelings in the flesh that will exhilarate you. You can pimper and pamper your body. You can have muscle. You can do all these things. Have riches and power and splendor and glory. The great hour of temptation. But them that are his elect, he said, those that have kept the word of my patience, I will keep them in that hour. Satan won't be able to destroy them, overthrow them. And following that hour, the church is taken out, and then comes the great tribulation. So then, it's the beginning of sorrows. Mothers, hearts broken. Daddy's hearts are broken. All these things, little girls ravished. Everything's going wrong. Problems, heartache, sickness, woes. The beginning of sorrows. Now, let me close in saying this. That in that, they will bring this upon you as to the tax collection. The number will come in. The church will go out. And Satan will be cast out. And he will be in a human body in the earth. And be here to rule and to reign. To have his kingdom here. But the grace of God will be gone. The blood will be off of the seat of atonement. And only one reason that there will be, that God did not completely destroy the earth and eradicate it fully. And that is because he said the earth is made to be inhabited, and he hath put the Jews here to keep it. The salt of the earth will be gone as to the children of God. The earth will be ravished and torn apart, with the exception. Behold, I send you in that day the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah. When the day shall burn as an oven as to the wrath of God. Unless, he said, lest I should do something to spare the earth, there wouldn't be any flesh spared. So then to spare, he brings in the Jew into light and understanding, just as the church goes out, so that he can have some reason in the earth to continue grace. As to the modifying of grace in that day, and as to the way that God will use grace as to specific individuals and in the system, as to the sealing and whatever it might be. But as to the blood on the seat of atonement, as to the rain upon the just and the unjust, it won't be there anymore. Only the just and only them that will be sealed in. So that means that we're right down as people, as to the Gentiles at the end of the way. Right there. Everything is at the end of the way. We could elaborate a lot on this, but I think I said enough as to your understanding, since you're children of God and children of light, that the Holy Ghost Himself can guide you into the truths of all these things that I'm saying and put together many things in detail to make you to understand that you really need to rise up, be about the Father's business, and do something for Jesus. All right, let's stand together. Just talking to you a little bit tonight to exhort you. All things is at hand and at an end, Peter said. Be sober. Be vigilant. Thine adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible said, whom you should resist, steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. Don't give place to him, not for even a moment. Down at the cross where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Where we first saw the light and the burdens of the heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all day. And there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Although many have come, there is still room for one. At the cross for you. You know, it's like I was telling somebody today, we're living in a different time and a different age. We're not living in just a time of enticement or alluring, though it is an hour of seducing. We're not living in an hour where one might insinuate as to catching your attention. But we're living in the hour of the boldness of Lucifer. Not as days gone by, as to an insinuation or some kind of alluring or a little enticement. We're living in the hour when Lucifer is very bold, like a roaring lion. He rises up as a man and a woman to take her virtues. He rises up bold and ugly and devilish, forceful, and presses his way, knowing that he's the strong spirited one and she's the weak one, and he makes trash out of her, and he takes her virtues and throws her in a ditch like an old rag, because that's what he'll do to you, like it was in the days of David, when David's son ravished his own sister. As to having different mothers in that day, it was legal for marriage. It wasn't the dirty, filthy thing of incest as it is in our day. And then when she pleaded for marriage, he treated her like a dog. She had to do away with her garment. You have a garment of virtue. God has given you a garment of virtue. And she wore her beautiful garment of virtue as the virgins wore. But no longer could she do that. The devil had ravished and robbed her. And it angered her brother till he swore he'd kill. And he eventually did kill the one that ravished her. And that they had different families, same father, different mothers. As it was with Abraham, he said, my sister. And we're living in a day when Satan walks over you. When he takes advantage, as that boy did, when he locked the girl in the room and took advantage of her. She left in tears. He despised her. He lusted after all that time, and then he despised her when he had wrecked her life. You know, it has been at times and may still be that to ravish a girl and take advantage of her is a death penalty. They put you in the electric chair. Some places they enforce it because you've killed her, you've wrecked her, she's gone, she's no good, she's trash, she's lost her virtue. Used to a man wouldn't marry a woman that had lost her virtue. He wouldn't have anything to do with her. She's trash. But today in the sinful, adulterous generation, everything goes. Ravish men's wives, daughters. Young men lose their virtue, all of them just a bunch of dirty dogs and filthy pigs, unless they're in Christ Jesus. Devils, beasts, and brute beasts made to be taken and burned, that wallow in their own mire, even with the washing, when Jesus said the grace is there, has to give them a chance, and they come and hear the beautiful words of God and feel the lovely Spirit of God as the rain comes down on the unjust and washes the old sow, and she goes back to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog back to the lapping of this woman, and makes a joke out of God. As somebody today was just joking here on the campground, had some of our men laughing. I don't see how our men could possibly laugh like that. Seemed like they'd have turned, maybe not slapped him in the face with their fist, but had been man enough to turn around and not laugh when the man said, I've won more people to God since I've been drinking than I have before I drank. You know what that is? It's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. And you listen to the blasphemous mouth of a devil speaking to you. Whereas the Bible says, rebuke them sharply. Rebuke openly that others may see and fear. That people may be sound in the faith. Appreciate what I heard today. I don't know the authenticity of it, except the person that told me, I have confidence in them. That is Christ in our life. But it was said that in a certain home there were certain people in a certain room talking while a certain girl was in another room. And they were mocking little Bethlehem and saying things about little Bethlehem. And one of the individuals that was sitting in there with them was being torn up and all messed up in their heart and mind, was told me, even to a point of sickening. But you know how that a lot of times mothers, sisters, daddies, brothers will try to spare their own family, when the Bible said if you spare any of them, there'll be pricks in your side. Like some of them have their children living down here on the campground, knowing that they're nothing but Roman devils. Still let them live down their country. Let them come down there. I understand tankers and all kind of things. But anyway, he said that this girl that was in the other room kept hearing it through the door, I suppose, as it was. And said she finally, those things got to warring with her mind. She just kind of let them go because I think it involved relatives. And said, finally, these things started striking at her mind to put thoughts in her mind the way it was told me. And so when she did, she just blundered out that door, slammed out that door and said, shut your mouth. And when they rose up and began to say things, said she said, shut your mouth or get out of this house. And said they were just tore up. And said, finally, one looked up, I think, and maybe made a confession and said, well, I admit I was just doing it out of jealousy. Just devils. But I said that to say this. Thank God, when I was told this, on the inside, it just kind of broke me up. I kind of sighed on the inside. You know how you weep sometimes? And I said, thank God for somebody that's got a little backbone that'll stand up for something right and tell devils to hit the road, whether it's relatives or friends or whoever it is, and to have no fellowship with them. We're such a wee bunch of weasels in the day we're living in. And we're so weak-kneed, our backbone is like a jellyfish. And we, if it's our relatives or friends or somebody, you know, we won't speak up. We'll let them, like an old hound dog full of fleas, lounge around and stay in the house. Makes us not fit to kill. You know, and we're wallowing in the same mire of the old style and the same. And then we let her do any old way. And then she lets the man or the boys or the girl, whoever did, do whatever the old dog just lapping the vomit and they're lapping it with them. But thank God for somebody that's got a backbone that loves the Lord enough, like Abraham when he laid his son on the altars for God. Don't yell back, this is my flesh and blood, every time you reprove them over their relatives. But don't get upset every time one of the wretched, Lord help me, I didn't mean to say it like that, but maybe that's the way I'm supposed to say it, every time one of the wretched relatives get a little pain and misery and they think the church ought to take everything out of a hungry baby's mouth to take care of them. They've been a drunkard and a wretch and everything else. Got down to the bottom of the barrel and God's fixing to chasing them. And then everybody gets upset, says, I've been there 10 years and they didn't give everything that come into my relative. I know he's been a drunkard and a liar and a cheat. You know, whereas they probably do try to help him do what they can, even as a drunkard. Rain on the just and the unjust. As a matter of fact, some lady came by today, I guess she was a sinner, but she said she needed 100 and how much? 190, 110. I can't understand altogether what my wife's saying, but anyway, $195. Okay, so I guess Sister Betty gave it to her. I told her she would, unless she could prove, you know, that she's just, whatever. But anyway, I said that to say this, you know. And we got people like that. They'll go off somewhere and they're just a no compromising nothing. And they'll get over here with some businessman that's got a collar and tie that ain't nothing but an old dog lapping his vomit, you know. And the old dog vomits and you lap it and say, no, I'm not with him, Bethlehem, Mike. Them holy? No, not them holiness folks. Well, what are you? Well, I'm a believer myself. Yeah, it'd really be something if somebody's from Bethlehem or somebody from a good old holy church would just step right up and say, is that so? Have you ever read that scripture where it says the devil believes too? You know, you can't say I'm holiness. You wouldn't dare say I'm holiness. Though God is the spirit of holiness, but you wouldn't want that to leak out to nobody. You know, that you're serving the spirit of holiness and that God is holiness. You'd do anything to camouflage the fact that God is the spirit of holiness because you'd rather think he's the spirit of Baptist. Let's give the Lord a hand. Or the Methodist. Or the Pentecostal. Or whatever other names they got for him. You know. The best name is, the name is Bastard Children. Let's give the Lord a hand. The image that God despises of their ball games and painted faces and frolics and races and their doctrines of devils and everything else. But thank God for somebody that's got a backbone that'll say, Brother Taylor, yeah, you know, say, oh, you're talking to my brother in Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand. Have enough backbone to stand up for what's decent and not get out there and wallow in the mire with them. But to be just as clean when you leave as you was when you went up. Even the old sow gets washed, you know. And you've been washed. To be just as clean when you turn around and leave. So you can be a child of God. Stop your compromising to get to be somebody's pastor or some get into somebody's pocketbook or billfold, as we say. Or get to run off with their wife or get to frolic. Or get to be part of the dirty things of the world. Get away from those kind of things. And learn that you're children of God. Get your dirty mind out. Somebody said, well, I'm a Christian, but I just think dirty thoughts all the time. No, you ain't a Christian. You're a dirty thinker. That's what you are. And when you get the dirty thoughts out and quit thinking dirty, then you'll be Christian. Let's give the Lord a hand. Don't you just love the truth? I love the truth. The Bible says the truth will make you free. Someone would say, free from what? Break the yoke of that old evil thinking of yours. Playing the hypocrite, thinking that you're something when you're nothing. All right, I get a little strong along there. I get to talking like Jesus and I get to talking like the others. Somebody said, no, Brother Pike, you're talking about the church. Well, the Bible said them was Pharisees and scribes. The Pharisees was the sect that believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees was the ones that didn't believe in it. And the scribes was the scribblers. That is, they scribble or scribe the things of Moses of the law. Jesus said, Pharisees and scribes, doctors of the law, said, you're hypocrites. Open sepulchres, have a name that you live, said, but you're not the church. You're not Christians. Folks, them folks are not Christians. They're not the church. The church is a holy thing, a godly thing, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. That's about their Father's business. That meditates in His laws day and night. They wouldn't do anything to offend Him or to be unlike Him. They wouldn't go out here, sit down under a television set and watch the old gullible things of the world and lap vomit with the dogs. I'm talking about the church that keepeth themselves and the evil one toucheth him not. I'm talking about them that are perfected forever, them that cannot sin because they're born of God. I'm talking about them that dwell in heaven, them that have power over all the powers of the enemy, the devil and sin and corruption and everything else. They don't frequent the hog pen. That's got enough backbone to stand up and say something as to a godly source and be identified with the righteous, to die the death of the righteous, to live the life of the righteous. Somebody said, but. There's no buts about it. You're without excuse. You know where you're living. You know who you are. You know you've been told that. You know that's the way it is, but you ain't going to do anything about it because somebody said, that's my flesh. And so it is. You're flesh of the dog and flesh of the sow. But I'm flesh of His bones. Bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. And that's not my flesh and blood. And I've come out of the land of my kindred. And if my kindred want to go with me, whether it be them that are of the flesh or them that are of the family, they're going to have to get in and go with me. Or when my sons and daughters come to my house, I'm going to tell them they need the shirts and the dresses fixed. And when it's too low, I'll say, sissy, your dress is too loose. And then about 2 days later, if sissy comes back, everything's blowed over. I say, sissy, it's the same as it was yesterday. Still too loose. And I say, son, you need to button it up. They say, well, I haven't got a button. I say, well, that's all right. I take pins. I use them a lot of times. We got everything you need right here for decency. And when they act up and they go to spewing and foaming out the sheen, I say, children, get out the door. Go to where you live and don't come back no more until you can get your life straightened out. If they're sitting in my table and they want to gossip and backbite and I walk in, I say, I don't want to hear that. I want the mess out of here. It's no joke to me. I don't like the laughing. The laughter of fools sounds like thorns crackling under a pot. And the Bible said in the house of mourning, the heart is made better. The gossiper, the backbiter, the Bible said he shall not stand in the holy hill of God. Well, how did I do this? Now, I started off exhorting you and then wound up preaching to you. I said I was going to dismiss. But anyway, thank God for what the girl did and what she said. And thank God for every other one that has done that. That's tried to set a standard of decency. You know, I see the girls in their long dresses and some of them go around dragging it through the mud and they're supposed to be setting the standard of decency and ain't even got no understanding. How could anybody without understanding do anything outside approach God? And I see some of them that raises them up a little high. You know, they figure like, well, I don't want to approach the church and be them old long dress women, you know. And so they pull them up a little and a little more and a little more and they get them way above the ankle and you know, and they go around and they think that they have really done Bethlehem and the kingdom of God a favor because people won't look down on it anymore. But you know what? The quicker we get that garbage over to the dump, the better we'll be. Let's give the Lord a hand. It stinks. Now, that old carnal mind is nothing but a stench. But I do appreciate people that will consider enough that if they're going to wear the dresses down to the shoes, that they'll at least pick them up when they go through the mud. And ladies, years ago, they wore them down to where they just about dragged the ground, but they had a habit of taking them, and they had bustles that pushed them up to where they didn't drag through the mud. They looked nice. You know, so you don't have to wear your dress dragging the ground unless you want to be a haint. But if you'd like to be a saint, you can use the mind of God and be temperate in all things and wear your dress decently to where it don't drag through the mud and yet where it's not up to your knees or whatever. You know, you can be a lady and use a little wisdom. I thank God for people who try to be a lady and use a little wisdom and have no respect for them that breaks the rules and regulations of God as to being fully dressed. The Bible said Jesus' garment was down to his feet, and that we should follow in his step. That was the garment of resurrection. And there's a way to wear your clothing. And you man that, as I said so many times, to be melted and poured into it, or running around with your shirts without an undershirt on. And you come like you're in a negligee every time you get near a door, whatever. And some of you women that do the same thing. You know, they say, well, it's so hot. It's so hot because you're burned in your lust. If you'd get with God, you could stay cool and clean, you know. Like somebody wrote me a letter, said, I'm getting out of prison. Young fella said, pray for me that I and my girlfriend can get together and do the right thing. Said, I've been bad and ugly. And said, Brother Pike, I realize now how foolish it was. He expressed himself in his own words. And he said, I've been so mean to mom and dad, and I've treated them so bad. And said, I thought it was keeping cool. You know, devils, as I say, they'll say, stay cool. Keep you cool. You know, because they know they're headed for the flames of hell. And they're trying to keep cool as long as that blood is on the seat of atonement. But he said, I thought that was keeping cool. But he realized it was devils and demons. And he said, if I get out of here, which I'll do soon, he said, pray for me that I'll do the right thing. And said, I wish that all the boys of Bethlehem would love the Lord and do right and realize how wrong things are. And girls too, you know, they're in the same condition. Young girls, don't be an old sow wallowing in the mud. Don't lose your virtues and just be an old piece of trash fit for the dump. Because God's going to burn you. They burn the stuff at the dump and you're heading for the dump. And he's going to empty you into the fire. Try to be right. If you've made a mistake in your life, if you've done wrong in your life, boy, you come to know God, clean up your life, clean up your heart, clean up your mind. You men that have come to know God, stop being an old lust devil walking around lusting with the eyes, and you women lusting with the eyes and always dirty, trashy thoughts. Why should you try to entice somebody to get their attention when you're married and you have a husband? Why should you try to entice somebody to get their attention to notice you? You're married and have a husband. She's married. Or he's married. He hath a wife. Why are you doing that? It's because you've got a devil of lust. Why should you want to comb your hair and look pretty so that you can attract some special person or have some special person on your mind every time you comb your hair or brush your teeth or every time you go to a certain place? It's because you've got a devil of lust, or you've got a devil of lust working on you. See, why? Why should you do that? Why should you be so sweet and so cute to certain people where you work on a job as the man to the woman, when you're not so sweet and cute to the one that doesn't strike your fancy so? It's because you've got a devil. You've got an evil eye. And woman, you're the same. Why? Why do you know somebody after the flesh when you're supposed to know them after the spirit? And see their measure of godliness and love and caress and honor that and submit yourself unto that. Why don't you do that? Well, anyway, Subject's getting longer and longer. Let's sing another chorus. Let's use wisdom. In malice be children, but in understanding let's be men. Have some backbone. Don't shirk your brother and sister. I know sometimes it's embarrassing. You can be at a place and here comes five women and their dresses dragging on the ground and dirty and filthy. And their dresses look like something that's like a sack that they pulled over their head. You know? I know. And you have some men in here that come laughing and talking and ain't got enough wisdom to keep quiet, to have a little wisdom when they're in the midst of people. I see white folks and black folks a lot. I guess Junior remembers this the other day. He was up there and here's some lawyers standing here and a ha-ha-ha and a he-ha-ha. And it was going like a bunch of hyenas or a bunch of donkeys. And you could tell he was trying to let you know there was a lawyer and this was telling about his experience. And it was a conglomeration of a mess. I was glad when I got out of the judge's office. I'm talking about a conglomeration of a mess and just laughing and staggering around. There's one or two women sitting over there, you know, and you could tell that they were choking to death off of the same garbage. But you know, if whatever you are, have a little sense, have a little reasoning. Somebody said, Brother Pike, why do you talk to us at Bethlehem like that? Has it ever occurred to you that there's books that go out all over the world and that this goes out on TV and radio and wherever, and I'm talking to some other folks too? Somebody would say, well, then you're not speaking to me. I told you what I say to one, I say to all. It shouldn't bother you if you're not guilty. If there's five people walking down the street and I say, look at that old sloppy drunk. And that old harlot, if some of them's women, it shouldn't bother the people that's not harlots and the people that's not drunks. And it sure ain't gonna bother the harlot and the drunk. They're too drunk off the cares of the world and off of the bottle to care. They're sure in their ignorance. And as Solomon said, when a fool walks along with a wise man, you don't have to tell anybody he's a fool. The fool is known by the multitude of his words. He's always saying, I'm a fool. He talks so much. Tell everybody knows he's a fool. But a wise man will keep it in till after and people will judge him as to be wise. And the fool will highlight the wise man. And they'll say, that man's wise there. You don't hear much out of him. You know what he says makes sense. Speak truth. All right, folks, let's just sing together. Let's be children of God. Let's love one another. Let's stay together. And every time the preacher preaches a little something, he says something to you, don't run off and prove yourself to be an old devil. Repent. Be zealous and repent. Don't run off and stay 6 months, year, and then come back. Don't do that. All right. I want to give you a chance to come to the altar just before I dismiss. Sing a little chorus with the time. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of the valley, and he's that bright morning star, and he's the fairest dawn in far. Everybody, sing with me now. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Tell. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal this little baby's back. Father, bless this little fella and heal his back and help him. Lord, let your hands be on him as a little child. Raise him up in the fear of God.
Help them to have the right mind, that this little body may not be abused and tormented, and that the soul at the end of the way may not suffer disparage to the flames of hell. But let the mind of righteousness, the mind of godliness, the mind of peace, the mind of love, the mind of wisdom, let it be in him and break the yoke down through the years off of his life. Heal his little body in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Okay, let's sing another little chorus for the table. Give me another key. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. Now if you've been wounded in battle, Jesus will pour the oil and wine in, and the altars are open to you. Found me bleeding, dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restores my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil. And one more time. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Pour in the oil and the wine. Can you sing it again? My Savior poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding, dying on the Jericho road. And he poured in the oil. Let's give him a hand, can you? Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. I'm not going to keep you, but just a few minutes tonight, and I appreciate you coming to the altar. I'd like to see you respond. It's a time when we really ought to be zealous for God, because it's right now about the time of the mark of the beast coming in, the tribulation period. And you're wise children. You understand. You know these wonderful things of God. And you're not children of darkness that day should take you unaware, but you're doing great and mighty things in the Lord and coming to great understanding. And because of this, the world is afraid of you. And the Bible says they shall be afraid of you because of your understanding. And you have great power over all the world and shall rule the world with a rod of iron. Great women, great men, great boys and great girls. And you're the coming generation as to ruling the new world and dwelling on the new earth, as that I saw in the vision, as to the millennium when you'd overcome. So then, because of this, we should exercise our senses in truth and in wisdom, that the world may see our light, that it should so shine that men should glorify our Father which is in heaven. And when you glorify God and you praise one that is trying to do something for God, isn't a good thing, I praise you. Don't get afraid that you've taken God's glory. As I said the other night, we give it to him, but he give it right back to us. He give it right back to us. So then he hath given us his glory, and we are glorified with the same glory that he hath. So we'll be in the same place, beholding his glory. So it's his glory, and you are for his glory. You are for his glory. Women are for the glory of men. They're made for the glory of men and to project his image. And man is made for the glory of God, to project his image. So as the women are the glory of men, so are you as men the glory of God. And even though that glory doth not appear, in that it was lost through the fall, in that they were illuminated with that glory before the fall, yet it will come back. And in coming back, as it penetrates your blood genetics, then it will be
throughout the entire world, and the environment of the whole world will change, and it'll be a beautiful garden, and even the desert shall break forth with singing. The whole creation is waiting for your manifestation as to that inner God Son to be made manifest in the immortal images, that the image may appear again as Jesus in the glory, the first fruits of them that slept, the first brother among many brothers. And while the woman is in the world, she's typical of the church. So she's the glory of the man, and the man being typical of Christ Jesus, he is the glory of God. But in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. You all are one in the Lord. And Jesus said, Father, to make these one, that as one, all of us are in him as the sons of God. And we are the divine children of God. And we are his glory in Christ. Because when we're born again, we're no more of the world as a woman or as a feminine gender, or as the masculine appears to the feminine gender, is so as to the spirit, as to the glorified body of new birth. All right, let's sing again. Can we sing again? Give me another key for him. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life, and let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life, wonderful words, beautiful words, beautiful words of life. They're beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. They're beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Can we sing this little chorus? We're bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheaves. Sing it again now. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheep. You know, saying this in closing, in this world we're human beings, and Satan has taken a very sacred thing as to the multiplication of the earth, turned it into a hideous garbage can as to a repulsive thing to God and humanity. And because of that, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, as to the overcharging of the human being's stimulants of life, it creates a reproach as to man and to God, and a misery to man and to God. But in the heavenly perspective in Christ, there won't be anything like that at all. Well, there's neither male nor female in the world to come. Though you're married to a wife as a husband, and though you're married to a husband as a wife, when death comes, you're not husband and wife anymore. When the man dies, the woman is free from the laws of the husband. And when the husband dies, or the woman dies, the man is free from those laws of bondage. So though you live 100 years, though you live as saints of God, when your wife dies, she's no longer your wife, neither are you her husband. You'll be in a double marriage then it's annulled, as do the first one that dies, and as do the second one to whomsoever they be married to. And if your marriage is just to one wife, one husband, though ye be fine wives and husbands, still, when you die, it's like Brother Branham said when he saw his wife and he said, "My beautiful, lovely sister." And there was no more human feeling as a sensation. That's no more. Because as to gender for multiplication, that is no more. And the man is completely without that irritating thing that haunts mankind through life that's not filled with the Spirit. Neither as to the woman of that which suppresses her and drives her to lose her decencies of life. It won't be there anymore. And the devils and demons won't be there anymore. There won't be marriage and remarriage. For in heaven, Jesus told the Pharisees one time when they tried to trap him in his words, they said to him, and this man had her, and then the other man had her as other brothers that were supposed to have her. Said to the seven had her, and all of them died. And at last the woman died. Then in heaven, who shall she be? Jesus said, ignorance, you're ignorant. He used the terms like this. He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. They thought they were great scholars. Said in heaven, they knew neither married nor given in marriage. They all are as the angels. That is in heaven, your spirits. Your spirits. I know they have this little saying how that angels fail and cohabited with women and all these kind of things, which is a bunch of junk. It's true that they did fall. They did cohabit. But the way that they did was through human bodies, just like they do today. Some people are walking devils, and that's the way it is. And they produce devils, even as Cain of the wicked one. Wherefore slew he his brother, because his brother's deeds were good and his was evil, and he was of the wicked one. There of the father of the devil who sowed the tares. So if you are a tare, you're of your father the devil. And your deeds will be as your sowing and as the devil that sowed you. See, you sow tares with your words. You either gather with him or you scatter abroad. And the devil sows tares, and he's the evil one. He's the father. And if you sow a tare, then you become the father of it here, just like I have begotten you in the gospel, and you are my children. So I sow the good seed, I have good children. If I sow the tare, then I have the bastard child. But to say the least, with closing, that dope addicts as mothers and dads, as this generation of vipers, their children are going to turn to be freaks and devils. All kinds of things. For he said, I've cursed the fruit of the womb. The fruit of the body is twisted up, blind, mangled. All kinds of things. The curse brings that. And because the just a lot of times suffer for the unjust, we have to be partakers of it as our children going to war, being mutilated and losing them and all kinds of things. All right, let's lift our hands together and sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Want Brother Gerald Williams to come and dismiss us tonight, if he will. I appreciate having Gerald come so often to be with us. Can you sing it with me now? And will you in glory all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. Once again now. And I